Please be seated. And part of my sermon is going to involve this. You know what this is? A rock of salt. But we'll get to this in a little minute. Right now, Heather and I are getting used to how things are done around here. And I suppose you two are wondering what I might get up to too. Happily, right now, we're all doing a kind of waltz. A sidestep here and being careful not to tread on toes. And over time, I'm sure we'll develop a wonderful dance of beautiful synchronicity. What I've already witnessed here is a willingness to grow and find ways that bring Christ's life and meaning in what we do, and a willingness to facilitate the restoration for others. How sweet and beautiful this is. It's a hard thing at times when tradition can subtly dictate terms. Because of this, someone may feel like not speaking up because it might ruffle a tradition. On the other hand, we might hold on to a tradition that blocks creativity and spontaneity. The way we defend our faith traditions may even cause people to withdraw and be silent. Here in this gospel story, we see two withered hands in the moment, and also in the example that I've just given you. One is paralyzed and shrunken back, and the other is calloused and refuses to grow, so that both are disabled in doing much at all. How desperately sad it was that the Pharisees could not see that bringing healing and therefore a transformed life to someone was less important than the Sabbath laws. It was more important. Challenging them, Jesus asks, is it lawful to do good, to save a life, or the opposite, to do harm and to kill? The reality was, if Jesus healed the man, he would live a new life. But to neglect the man would, in a way, continue his pain and suffering unto death, and most probably prematurely. The Pharisees dared not answer for exposing their own hardness of heart. In the Corinthians reading, we see that the reality of what keeps our heart full of life, soft with kindness and compassion, that which maintains the brightness of God's Spirit. But a key here is in Mark 2, verse 5. And it's an uncomfortable word. In the Greek, the word is doulos, meaning slave. And we would read, in some translations, servant. The meaning of doulos, as in slave, implies one who gives themselves up wholly to another's will. In the New Testament, it is used 58 times, and variations of doulos is used another 83 times. And Jesus teaches that the disciples adopt it as an important metaphor in which they saw themselves empowered to bring God's light to many. The doulioi Christoi are those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men, and implies that these are the true worshippers of Christ. So in 2 Corinthians 2, the emphasis is on us to surrender through our own individual human nature, our identities to a Lord who is infinitely compassionate. We, as it were, give up our rights to be submissive and obedient to a master who in return endows us with his own identity. It is this identity that Paul speaks of as light. In return for giving him our lives, he gives us his love and grace, his virtues and his mercies, not simply to keep for ourselves, but to share with others, which testifies about the one we belong to. People may say to you, you're a good man or a woman. And we can reply with boldness and with humility, oh, but you should meet the one who gave me this goodness. Don't you think it extraordinary that God has made us as vessels to carry this light? Paul expresses us as jars of clay. Now, in his day, clay jars were today's plastic bags, fragile, easily broken, and discardable. So Jesus took our fragility, our brokenness, our worthlessness, and made us God's worthy vessels in order that his Spirit may shine in our lives. How awesome is that? Just like the man with the withered hand, Jesus comes to us with our weaknesses, our doubts, our sense of failure, and he asks us to stretch out our hand. Why? So that through our weakness, God's strength might shine. This story of a physical ailment shows us our own spiritual darkness and invites us to enter into the new life of light with him healed and whole. Now, I want to share with you a story, and I'll come down here. I was probably about 16. It was a real transformation in my life. You see, I had been through a lot of sickness, fought cancer, got ran over, fought a bone marrow disease. But during that time too, my father was very unsupportive and I felt very, very unworthy. And I was living with my father. My parents had broken up. Our house had burnt down. It's a lovely story. I feel like Monty Python. Oh, yes, but you know. I lived in a paper bag. But I've got a beautiful relationship with my dad now, by the way. But I left my dad in Queensland. I came to Sydney, and Mum was going to a little church. And I came into a fellowship of people very much like you, loving, very welcoming, and shone forth God's love. And as a 15-year-old, I actually said to God, I don't deserve this. And I actually had an argument with God. God said, God was showing me through these people and through into my own heart, speaking to me how much he loved me. And I said, no, God, you've made a mistake. You can't love me because I don't feel I deserve love. And I had a big argument with God, and that was a real wrestle. And it took a few months of me, and even sometimes I'd be crying, just saying, God, you can't love me. I don't understand this kind of love. And eventually I began to let go and just accept God's love. And when I did that, through the family traumas and everything else, I began to feel God healing me, healing my soul. To me, that was the beginning of letting Christ shine in my life and the beginning of my journey. So in sharing you with that, I'm giving you little inklings about myself and get to know me a little bit better. But we're all like jars of clay. And that's all I saw, was I was just like a broken, discarded piece of clay. But as jars of clay, we begin to shine, not because we can claim that we have done anything, except to stretch out our faith and trust that God truly loves us and wants us to belong to him. Now, with his light in us, we have a spiritual knowledge that we are his, even through life's trials and traumas that bring us to the point where we may not even know what or how to pray. Still, this assurance remains within us that our Father's presence is constantly there. He is the light that is within us. In the tunnels, even in the tunnels of despair. And not just because there's a light at the end of the tunnel. He is that unexplainable sense of peace that we can hold on to. So Paul just doesn't stop there. He gives us an answer to the what for and the why me. These two questions express our sense of unworthiness and even undeservedness. Yet Jesus did this so that we might show the world through living for him as individuals and corporately as his church what an awesome, loving master we serve. Jesus paid the ultimate price for our lives by his death on the cross. He has freed us from the slavery of condemnation because of the corruption of sin. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:22, and I like this, "For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freeman. Conversely, he who was free man when he was called is Christ's slave." And then Paul states, "You were bought with a price. Enslaved in his love, we now know what true freedom is." Shining his light is not a hard thing to do. And God doesn't expect us to do spiritual gymnastics. All he asks us to do is love and obey him with all of our hearts. As simply as a child to a father. We seek his lordship over us first, and we begin to understand that all he is given unto us, such as the benevolence of the one who now claims us as his. What a gift it is to be able to say, "Jesus owns me and I belong to him." In these very words of it is our submission and honor to him and our proclamation of our right to live under his authority and his in his identity. We can also say that we are the doulioi Christoi, whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause to all humanity. That is, we are being vessels of light that extol God's goodness, bringing his spiritual healing and loving others as he loved us. His light, therefore, makes it clear how awesome a life served in Christ is. And just like Samuel, God calls us all. Will we answer? "Here am I, Lord. Your servant is listening." Now we come down to the salt man. I'll tell you now, confidently, you'll never find a salt lamp exactly the same as this one. In fact, you go to a shop, they're all different shapes and sizes, they've all got little bumps and grooves and things like that in them, and probably a little few knots. It's just like us. God has made us, just as in the psalm, very unique. He's knitted us together, our personalities, our character, who we are. And it's just like the salt lamp. And we live this way, and we can live this way as Christians. But when we have Christ's light in us, it doesn't change the rock. The personality, the character's there. But what do you see most of? You see the light. It illuminates us. And this is what we can do and be, is carry that light. And that God calls us to be that, is to have his light shining within us. And believe me, and I know this for real, when we go out there amongst other circles in our social lives, people do see that light. They do see that light as we honor and love God and show that love to others. They do see that light. Amen.